today, Jerry Coyne, a very rabid anti-creationist and evolutionist from University of Chicago, said, "These examples represent loss of traits rather than origin of evolution. In a 2003 review of science textbooks being considered by the Texas Board of Education found 6 of 11 textbooks to contain the disproved peppered moth doctrine as proof of Darwinian evolution. Notice the Denver Museum of Natural History. How evolution works. It says there are many examples of evolution in action, but this one is often referred to because it has been so well documented. And down at the bottom it says, mutations introduce new characteristics." Friends, there are no mutations here. That would be like saying, if all the white people died off, then all the dark colored people would be mutated, which is just so surprisingly wrongheaded that it's amazing it even got into this museum. And yet, here is a science curriculum for high school students, and it uses the peppered moth as an example. And it says, have students read Evolution's Link to Development Explored. This example will continue to be used. Number 5, alleged horse evolution. When I was at the University of Georgia, I asked one of my friends that believed in evolution there, well, what is your strongest proof of evolution? Without missing a beat, she said, well, of course, the pictures of the horses in the textbook. Evolving from the little horse to the big horse. Well, what of this horse evolution? Well, the problem with that is that they did not evolve from one another. We know that for a fact, and the evolutionists even say it, because at least the top 3 horses were contemporaneous to one another. They all lived at the same time, and if they all lived at the same time, they didn't evolve from one another. Plenty of evolutionists have said this. Even back in 1954, Dr. Nielsen said the family tree of the horse is continuous, that means evolutionarily continuing, only in the textbooks. The construction of the horse is a very artificial one. It cannot, therefore, be a continuous transformation series. Again, Stephen Jay Gould said throughout history, the horse species are static over millions of years. We find them in the fossil record unchanged. He says the gradualistic picture of horse evolution becoming a bush of overlapping, closely related species. So that is what they are. They're closely related species overlapping one another. And then Stephen Stanley said the horse, the classic story of one genus turning into another, now it's becoming apparent there's an overlap. He says there isn't gradual transition from one horse to another. And yet we were at the Carnegie Museum of Natural History on Saturday, and they still use the horse evolution picture as evidence of evolution, when even these esteemed scientists say it's not true. And finally, here is the man that invented, here is the architect of the current neo-Darwinism, the modern synthesis that's taught in classrooms, George Gaylord Simpson. He said the uniform continuous transformation of Hyracotherium, that's the small horse, into Equus, the modern horse, so dear to the hearts of generations of textbook writers, never happened in nature. But I guarantee you there are textbooks in the state of Ohio that still have these pictures of horse evolution. Well, let's talk about horses and dinosaurs for a minute, because these are two of the most commonly used animals to try to convince children that evolution occurred. What's the significance of dinosaurs in the creation controversy? Well, first of all, we know dinosaurs and man, according to the Bible, lived at the same time. In Exodus 31:17, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh he rested. And in the 6th day he created man and land-dwelling animals." But did you know dinosaur fossils were not known to be discovered until 1822 by Gideon Mantell? The word dinosaur was not even invented until 1841. Does anyone want to guess what they previously called them? Well, I guess you can look on the screen and see. They were previously known as dragons. And every major culture around the world has a dragon legend. And you might say, well, you really don't believe in dragons. Well, I believe that if man lived with dinosaurs, there would be some kind of legend of these dinosaurs, and people might add ideas to it to make it seem maybe mythical. Hundreds of cultures have these legends. And now we'll ask the question, how did dinosaurs become extinct? Well, Michael Benton from Oxford University says, many hundreds of pages have been written about how the dinosaurs became extinct without our being any wiser. Now, the most common explanation, there's about 100 explanations. Most common explanation is the asteroid theory, that an asteroid hit the Earth and covered the Earth with soot and blocked out the sun and destroyed the plants. They couldn't grow and the dinosaurs died. Well, we know that can't be the case for a number of reasons. If you want to know, we can go into detail and I can explain it to you afterwards. But we know that that isn't the case. I think they simply ran out of food. There wasn't enough food left for them based on the type of plants that they ate before the flood and after the flood. So dragons or dinosaurs? Look at this picture of this dragon. Okay, let's imagine this is a picture of a dragon and it has some imaginative features on its head and with its wings. Now, what happens if you remove these imaginative features? Let's see. What does it look like now that you remove the wings and the frills from the head? It looks remarkably similar to a dinosaur. Now, even Carl Sagan addressed this. How do the evolutionists deal with the fact that there's dragon legends? Well, Carl Sagan basically in his book said, well, the only way I can account for it is that we must have had, through in our evolutionary past, we must have vestiges of memories when we lived with the dinosaurs, when we were unevolved,